Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together.
Matthew chapter 5. Today I'll be dealing with how to be perfect. Now, how many times have you heard the expression, "Well, nobody's perfect"? You know, it usually comes after somebody has done something wrong. You know, it's kind of an excuse for their behavior. And the thinking is, well, since no one's perfect, how can we expect anything more from Him? And not only do we use it to excuse other people's behavior, but perhaps we even use it more to excuse our own behavior. When we sin, or when we give in to some weakness, we say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that's what we say, but now what does Jesus say? In Matthew 5, verse 48, "Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now that's one of those verses that we conveniently dismiss and pass over and think, well, how did that get in there? You know, somehow that's got to be a mistake. How did that get in the Bible? But you know, Jesus does not give us that luxury. We cannot dismiss this verse. He is too clear. He doesn't say, "I would like for you to try to be perfect." He doesn't say, "If you could, I want you to be perfect." No, He very definitely says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So rather than just skipping over this verse and trying to pass it over and say, well, you know, it just somehow it shouldn't be there, I think we'd better understand what Jesus means and let the Word of God interpret the Word of God for us. Now, obviously, a key is understanding what the word perfect means, because He says we're to be perfect. So our interpretation will hinge on a correct understanding of that word perfect. Now again, I provided a place in the bulletin for you to take notes, and let me encourage you to do that. Now the first thing I want you to know is the word perfect does not mean flawless. It does not mean flawless. Now when you and I use the word perfect in our English language, the primary meaning would be just that. It is flawless. Absolutely without mistake, without flaw. But the Greek word that we translate into the English word perfect, the primary meaning is not flawless. The primary meaning is complete, mature. It comes from the Greek word telos, which means goal or end or purpose. In fact, I want to show you three places in the New Testament where this same Greek word is used, that's used in Matthew 5:48, and it's not translated perfect in those places, but rather complete or mature. Now look over in the first one is Matthew 19, verse 21. And we'll begin in verse 16 so you can catch the flow of the passage. Matthew 19, verse 16. "And behold, one came to Him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And He said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to Him, 'All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?' Jesus said to him, if you wish to be, and here's the word, complete. Same word. If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. So Jesus said, if you want to be complete, if you want to finish and do everything, then go and sell your property. Jesus knew that the man's heart was, his riches were on his heart, and that was his God, not God himself. And so Jesus brought him to this point of contention. Now look at again over in Ephesians chapter 4. Here Paul is writing, the same Greek word is used, Ephesians 4, in verse 13. And he's talking about the leadership gifts in the church and how God gives those gifts for the purpose of building and maturing the body. And we'll pick up verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until all obtain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a, here it is, mature man. Same word that's translated perfect in Matthew. A mature man to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. And here he's talking about spiritual maturity. To be Christ-like, mature. Now again, it's used over in Colossians, a few more pages to the right. Colossians chapter 1, same words used again. Look at verse 28. And we proclaim Him, that is Jesus, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man, that is the word, complete, mature in Christ. Paul said the purpose of our teaching is that we might present every person mature, complete in Christ. And so perfect means to accomplish the purpose for which something was planned, to reach the goal or the end. One day when I was in seminary, I decided I would become industrious mechanically, and I would change the spark plugs in my car. And back in those days, it was much simpler to work on cars. You didn't have all the computers and all that sort of stuff, so I thought, I will change the spark plugs in my car. Now, how many of you have ever changed spark plugs in your car? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, how many of you guys have ever used just a regular open-end wrench to do it? Ladies, and for those of you that may not know, a spark plug kind of sits down in a recessed area. And to get in there with a wrench and be able to turn that thing to unscrew it is very, very, very difficult. It can be done, trust me. But not easily and not quickly. Well, somebody in their infinite wisdom has developed a thing that's called a spark plug wrench. It's a little round metal cylinder about that long, and it fits down perfectly over the spark plug. Even has a little cushion in it to protect the spark plug, and it goes down over where it's fitting, over the square thing that you would unscrew it with, the bolt, I guess you'd call it. And it fits perfectly over that, and you just hook your ratchet to it, and you can just easily undo it. I mean, in just a matter of seconds, whereas it would take 30 minutes to do one with just a regular old wrench. You know, 90% of doing a job is having the right tools to do that job, right? 10% is know-how. 9% the tools. Well, you know, when somebody finally said, hey, they make a special wrench for doing that. It's called a spark plug wrench. So I went out and got one. And you know, I looked at that thing, and when I put it right on in, it just slid just as easily over that spark plug and just fit right in there. And I just started turning, that thing just came right out. And I looked at that spark plug wrench, and you know what I said? I said, man, that's perfect. That spark plug wrench is perfect for this. Now, it's not good for anything else. I mean, it's not a thing else in the world you'd want to use it for. But it is perfect for that one job that it was designed to do. That's what the Greek word means. To accomplish the purpose for which something was planned. I was being very Greek when I looked at that spark plug wrench and said, man, that's perfect. It fits great. It makes the job so much easier. Therefore, when Jesus says we're to be perfect, In the sense of completely fulfilling God's purpose for our life, he is using this term in that way. He says you are to be everything God planned for you to be in word, thought, and action. You are to completely fulfill God's goal and purpose for your life. You are to be absolutely blameless in being everything God wants you to be, even as God is perfect, everything He has ever planned for Himself to be. Well, if being perfect means fulfilling God's purpose for you in word, thought, and action, well, what is God's purpose for you? Right? It's found in Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So what's God's purpose for you? For you to be like Jesus. For you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. To be perfect is to be like Jesus. To be mature, to be complete is to be like Jesus. Remember Paul in Colossians said, we admonish and teach every man that we might present them complete, mature in Christ. So for you to be perfect as Jesus commands you to be perfect means you must be like Jesus in everything, word, thought, and deed. Now you immediately ought to say, hey, that's impossible. Doesn't the Bible say, preacher, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And that word sinned means to miss the mark. It's taken from archery. And it's the idea that being just like Jesus is hitting a bullseye. And the arrow falls short of the bullseye. And every time you and I shoot at the goal of being exactly like Jesus in everything, we fall short. For all have sinned, fallen short, missed the mark of being like Jesus in word, thought, and action. Consequently, no one will ever be perfect in his own efforts. No one will ever enter heaven by his own efforts. Again, Jesus is giving us the principle we've seen weeks before of this death to self. Death to self efforts. You know, for a person to be saved, they must realize their self efforts will not do. Work as they will, they cannot earn God's acceptance. That they will never be everything God wants them to be. No matter how hard they try, they will always fall short. And when Jesus says you are to be perfect, He is knocking all the props out of self-effort and self-life. Because no one in his own works can be completely everything God desires for them to be. You can't do it. You cannot be like Jesus, no matter how hard you try. You say, well, then what can we do? We can throw ourselves on God's mercy. And we can turn from our self-efforts to God's work on our behalf. We can give up our imperfection and receive the perfection which God has provided for us. And indeed, we must. The only way, now listen, the only way to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect is for you and I to receive God's perfection as our own perfection. Right? The only way we will be perfect is for us to give up our imperfection, which comes from self-efforts, and receive God's perfection as our own perfection. Now, God is in the business of perfecting Christians. Now, there are three senses in which God is carrying forth His perfecting work in us as believers. First, He has perfected our record. Secondly, He is perfecting us continually. And thirdly, He will perfect us completely. Now, let's look at those in the time we have left. First, God has perfected our record. Look in Hebrews, over to the right, chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 14. He says, "For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." Now notice the past tense, perfected. This is something that's already been accomplished. Actually, in the Greek, it's the perfect tense. Now, the perfect tense in the Greek is interesting because it's used to talk about something that has already happened in the past, but the results of that action are continuing into the present. Like you could say, 6 years ago, Bill got sentenced to 20 years in prison. That'd be perfect tense. 6 years ago, he was sentenced. It was accomplished. The task was already done. But the results of that sentence were continuing into the present because he still had to serve 14 more years. When it says He has perfected us, it means Jesus accomplished this in the past, but the results of that are continuing even into the present. Now let's look at this chapter a little closer. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the inability of animal sacrifices to perfect our record. Look in verse 1. "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near." Now the picture in this passage is of a man standing before a holy God. Holy God has a record of this man's sins. As a righteous and just God, God must punish that man for those sins. Now in the Old Testament, God gave animal sacrifices as a means to avert the death of those who sinned. God allowed the animal sacrifice and the blood of that animal to temporarily cover the sins of those people. And He allowed the animal's death to be a substitute for the person's death who sinned. Those Israelites should have died, because the wages of sin is death. But God in His grace said, "I will allow the blood of these sacrifices to be a temporary cover for those sins that you've committed, and I will even allow this animal to die in your place." Yet the writer of Hebrews says these sacrifices were only temporary. They had to be done over and over and over again, because they were not really able to perfect the record of those who offered them. Look in verse 4. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." There had to be a greater sacrifice for our sins. Before our record could be cleared, before our record could be perfected, There had to be a greater sacrifice. First, it had to be a man because man had sinned. But it needed to be someone who was more than man. It needed to be God so that the sacrifice could be a worthy sacrifice. Therefore, when Jesus, the God-man, gave His life, He became the ultimate payment for my sins. Look in verse 12. But He, that's Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Therefore, what has He done? He has perfected, verse 14, my record. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, those who are set apart. And through the sacrifice of Jesus, God has wiped away the sins of His people. Verse 17. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. That's why we don't offer sacrifices today. Jesus' payment was sufficient. And so the Bible says that in Christ, God has perfected my record. I have a cleared and clean record before God. When I stand before God, He looks at my sin record and He says, it's perfect. Because Jesus Christ perfected it. He cleansed it. He covered it in His blood once and for all. Never needs to be covered anymore. Not only did He forgive every sin I ever committed in the past, but it continually covers every sin I commit now and in the future. And so we who are believers can stand before God with a perfect record. Amen. Next, God is perfecting us continually. Not only has He perfected us, but He is perfecting us continually. And although our record has been perfected, we also need to be continually perfected in our behavior. And Paul is speaking of this in Philippians, back to the left, chapter 3. In fact, he speaks of both of these aspects of perfecting in Philippians chapter 3. Look in verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I might lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfected, have the same attitude. Now wait a minute. He said he was not perfected, and now he says, let everybody who is perfected have this attitude. Well, he's talking about both of these aspects of perfecting. In the first one, he's talking about the daily perfection of our attitudes and our behavior. And what does he say? He says in verse 15, as many as are perfect, as many as have the perfect record, you need to have the same attitude that I have, to realize that I have not been perfected in my behavior yet, and I need to press on toward the goal of being like Christ in my behavior. Now, you're like Christ in that your sins have been completely wiped away, but you and I are not like Christ in our daily behavior yet, and that is something that God is continually doing in our lives, and we are to press on toward that goal of being like Christ in our daily behavior as well as in our record. And the great thing about that is God is perfecting that work in us. Look in chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that term fear and trembling means in total dependence upon God. Now, grow in your spiritual maturity, and that's what he means by work out your salvation. Grow in your perfecting in total dependence on God, for He's the one who's working in you, both to work and to will for His good pleasure. God is doing this work in you, so look to Him, depend on Him, trust Him to make you like Christ. Trust Him to apply the cross to your self-life and the resurrection life of Christ to your daily behavior. Chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 6, lets you know how confident Paul is that God is doing this continual perfecting in our lives. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ." Paul says, I know that God who began that work, who perfected your record, is going to continually perfect you in your behavior as well until the day Jesus comes back. I'm confident of this. And as you lean and trust and look to Him, He will conform you to the image of Christ. Now Paul says this same thing again in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 and 29. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together." No matter what happens to you, all things God causes to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And how is He working all these things together for good? How is He using them? He tells us in verse 29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Paul says, we know that God causes everything that comes into your life, whether you bring it in because of your sinfulness or whatever, that God is able in His wisdom to take all of those things and actually work through them to conform you to the image of Christ. Now, isn't that great? To know I can't thwart God's work in my life. He is going to carry forth His work in spite of me if need be. Now, obviously, we are called to cooperate with what God is doing, to yield ourselves to Him. But praise God, He's going to do a work in me regardless, because His Spirit is at work in my life, in your life as a Christian, and He is continually perfecting us. And the third aspect is not only has He perfected our record, not only is He perfecting us continually, but He will perfect us completely. We're in Philippians again, in chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said he was so conformed to the image of Christ that when he lived, people saw Jesus in him. For me to live is Christ. For me to live, I'm so dependent on Jesus. I'm so abiding in Him as my true vine. He is so much my life. God has so dealt with my self-life that the life of Christ is so manifested through me that when people see me, they see the life of Jesus. They see Christ. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain, is even profit. Why? Because in death we are completely conformed to the image of Christ. I don't believe anyone reaches the state of sinless perfection in this life. Now, there are those who teach that we can come to the state of sinless perfection in this life. But I would love to simply talk to the wife of one of those guys and see if she agrees with that statement. Right? But at death, God brings the believer into perfection. Total, complete perfection. Sin is done away with completely. The very sinful flesh that holds us back is removed at death. And we're perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus. That's why Paul says to die is to gain. It's to gain. Now, with our resurrection, when Jesus returns, our perfection will even take on greater dimensions as our body is raised from the grave, perfected, glorified after the glory of Jesus. And Paul talks about this in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." When that resurrection day comes and our bodies come forth from the grave, perfected and glorified, and are joined once again to our spirit that is already with the Lord, then indeed our perfection will be complete. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Here again, John lets us know that our complete perfection awaits us. Verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be." Words, we haven't reached perfection yet. "But we know that when He appears," when Jesus returns, now that's either death or when He returns physically to this earth, "we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is." Now, if perfection is being like Jesus, then we know that when He returns, either physically or you go to see Him in death, then you shall be like Him. And so, number one, He has perfected our record through His precious blood. If you've never come to the Lord Jesus to have His precious blood cleanse you of your sin, you need to do so today. The only way you'll have that record perfected is through Jesus. Your self-works, your self-efforts, trying to be as good as you can, coming to church, reading the Bible, saying your prayers, it won't do it. Because we cannot be perfect in our own efforts. We must receive His perfection that He has accomplished for us. And we do that by acknowledging you cannot do it, and saying, "But Jesus, I know You did die to perfect my record, to cover my sin, to pay the penalty for my sin. You were punished for me. And I receive You. I want to receive You as my Savior and Lord. I want You to come into my life as King of my life. I'm willing to turn away from anything that's not pleasing to You. By Your grace, I'll turn away. And I want You as my Savior. I trust what You did as everything necessary for me to have eternal life." And by faith, receive Him. Just invite Him into your life through faith. And then your record is perfected as well. And we have the assurance that God will continually perfect us each day. As you cooperate with Him, as you surrender to Him, believe that He is perfecting you, as you trust Him to do this, He will crucify your flesh continually, put to death your self-life, and bring the life of Christ through you in greater and greater measures. He will continue that work of conforming you to the image of His Son. Now you can help accelerate the process as you cooperate with that work, as you yield to His work in your life, as you trust Him to do that. And we can all look with joy to the future when we will be completely perfected. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have provided the perfection for us. And we simply need to give up our imperfection and receive Your perfection as our own, through faith in what Your Son has accomplished for us. I pray You would take Your word and minister it to each person here. That You would rebuke the devourer from snatching away that seed that is sown, but it would find root and it would bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing our hymn of response. We want to give you an opportunity to respond as God may be free to do so. If you'd like to talk to me about your relationship to the Lord, I'll be glad to talk with you. If you need and believe God's leading you to become a part of the army